I give you warm greetings this morning as we would come together to worship our God, as we would seek to do so in the way appointed, that we come in the name of the Lord Jesus. I greet you in his name today. May he be present by his Spirit as we would lift up the name of our God together. Very warm welcome to a number of folk visiting with us. Lovely to have you. And pray God's blessing on you and on your families, on your fellowships from which you've come this morning as well. One or two notices to highlight to you, but otherwise just to remind you to make use of the printed material. A number of things printed out for you, various dates and meetings and so forth as we continue our life as a congregation. To emphasize particularly today, as we have the evening service, but time before that to pray together, please, I would encourage you to try and get here a few minutes early and join together in prayer. Then, as well, to especially remind you that not next Sunday, but the one after, we will not be able to have services here because you will not be able to get into Cobham. Basically, all the roads, for some reason, this year at least, are being closed for major cycle races on that Sunday. So you won't be able to get into Cobham, and I would encourage you to find a fellowship somewhere where you can worship God with his people. There's also a new magazine just come out, the Record magazine, over on the table. Please do pick up a copy of that, and if there are none left by the time you get there, let me know, and we can easily get some more. And then finally, as we have a note of various birthdays that I mentioned through the year, the one that I'm aware of for this coming week, it's quite providential. We can, I hope, send greetings to Neil Radcliffe for Friday. I believe it's his birthday coming up, and it's great to have Simeon with us this morning, and who is contributing, leading the singing today. But let's remember Neil and the family. He turns 7 on Friday. Remember them together. Let us come together in response to God's own word. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us return our praises to him this morning, first in Psalm 135. It's the traditional version on page 425. Psalm 135. Page 425, and we'll sing the verses marked 1 to 6. That's the first 5 stanzas that we have here. Again, those words to call us to praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, the Lord's name praise, his servants praise ye God, who stand in God's house, in the courts of our God make abode. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good, unto him praises sing. Sing praises to his name, because it is a pleasant thing. And so on, let's sing through to the verse Mark 6, to God's praise. We'll stand to sing, and we'll stay standing after that to pray together.
Praise ye the Lord,
Oh,
Let us pray together. O Lord our God, we thank you once more for this call that we should praise you. Even where we have heard many a time and we have had your word open to us, we've heard of the grace of our God and of your greatness. Yet so often we are filled with small things. Our eyes look upon ourselves so much. And so we praise you, Lord, and we thank you that you have spoken to us even in these few words. That it is good that we should look to the heavens. We should look to the one who is the Almighty, the one who is sovereign upon the throne. We should be taken out of ourselves to look to the one who is worthy of worship, of praise, of service. We praise you too, O Lord, for as this word calls us, you are the one who has made all things and made all things very good. It was according to your good pleasure, and it did please you. And it is in a glorious harmony, all things perfect. But, O Lord, all the more then, we confess our sin before you. The sin of the human race, our own sin personally. That it is because of our rebellion and our willfulness that there is a groaning in creation. Things are not as you made them to be. But yet the foundations are true. And even now you are worthy of praise for these things. There is no other besides you, O God. You are the one who is in glory, the one to receive glory. And we pray, O Lord, that as we can bring ourselves before you, as we bow and humble ourselves, as we confess that we are sinners, that you will pardon our sin, that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that you will receive us wholly in your sight through the one whom you sent by your great work of salvation. We give thanks, O Lord, for your gift of your Son. We thank the Son that he was pleased to come and become one of us that he might save his people from their sins, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, O God, that he might be clear in our minds today, that you will refresh our view of him, and that we will understand our great need of him, that we must be utterly dependent upon all that he has accomplished, but that according to your mercies, we would be renewed in the inner man, and that out of our hearts would flow those things that are good, in word and in deed, that we would truly live for him who died for us and rose again, brought into new life by the living Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that this will be the character of our worship this morning, that your Spirit will be upon us and enable us, and that we will be able to set aside all other things that can so easily draw us aside. We pray that you would help us through every difficulty of our hearts, of our bodies, our lives, and that in them all we might find rest in you. And you are enabling for the days that are before us. And so, Lord, do we pray that you would receive of us the honour that is due to your name, that you would work that in us, that our hearts would rejoice in your near presence today, in your providing for all that you have purposed for us today and in days to come. And do, we pray, receive the glory as we ask all things that we might be heard only through our great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. This morning, at this point in the service, we make confession of our faith, again sharing with the Church of the Ages and taking the words that we know as the Apostles' Creed. As I would read it, do make this confession in your own heart. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May God grant his blessing, and may he hear such confession as we make it together. Now let us turn to our first longer Bible readings, as we've read some parts of Scripture already, but we turn to read and continue our readings in the book of Leviticus, as we've been reading here. Leviticus chapter 8. And though we were not all here last week, those who were here would have heard the first, or read the first part of the consecration, the setting aside of the priests, Aaron and his sons. And that included a washing, an anointing, and a sin offering, which are all indications of the setting apart that these were to be holy to the Lord. And we take it up now at verse 18. Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 18. Then he brought the ram as the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Then he sprinkled the blood all around on the altar, and he cut the ram into pieces. And Moses burned the head, the pieces, and the fat. Then he washed the entrails and the legs in water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he brought the second ram, the ram of consecration. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Also he took some of its blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood all around on the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail, all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and their fat, and the right thigh. And from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, a cake of bread anointed with oil, and one wafer, and put them on the fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these in Aaron's hands and in his son's hands, and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar on the burnt offering. They were consecration offerings for a sweet aroma. That was an offering made by fire to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it as a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' part of the ram of consecration, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, "Boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of consecration offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. What remains of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn with fire. And you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you, as he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do, to make atonement for you. Therefore you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, so that you may not die, for so I have been commanded." So Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. May God grant blessing as we read his word once more together. Let us return praise to him further by singing now in Psalm 118. We'll take the new version. It's on page 155. Psalm 118, page 155, and we'll sing the first five stanzas. It's the verses marked 1 through to 9. Psalm 118, "Oh, thank the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures always. Now let the house of Israel say, his love will last through endless days." We will sing through to the verse marked 9, verses 8 and 9. "It's better far to trust the Lord than look for help to man's defense. It's better far to trust the Lord than in a prince have confidence." Where is our heart set? Psalm 118, verses 1 to 9, again standing to sing.
Oh, thank the Lord for you. Now let the house
seated. I don't know if the children, there's just a few of you here, if you can see what I'm doing here, what I have here. Some people like to do magic tricks, and some of the grown-ups might have seen this. Maybe you've seen it yourselves somewhere along the way. But start like that, and there's something that we have here, and we're going to hide it and then see if you can tell which of these cups it's sitting under. Somebody might like to keep an eye on them, and you can tell. But if you're... Whoops. Slips, you don't do that. That's supposed to... Well, it gets all mixed up, doesn't it? We get all mixed up. And I'm not very good at this. Do you know which one it's under? Elizabeth, which one is it under? The middle one? You've taken... Oops, it's not there. I thought it might be there too. See, I'm not very good at this. Thomas, do you know which one it is? It's not that one. So which one? This one? This one? Yeah? That's my left foot. It is? Yeah! It's nothing very fancy, so you don't want it. But, see, I got mixed up. Now, when we're going to be reading in a minute, and the things that we'll be thinking about in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, it talks about people who try and confuse others, other people. They do the wrong things, and they think they've got it all sorted out. And they try and confuse somebody else. But the time comes when they get it wrong themselves. And this is just a little one, but maybe this was covered with these cups, and there's just one there, and none of us can find it. Because none of us can keep track of every detail in our lives. And if you try and mix up one to catch somebody else out, then it's very likely that the time will come when you'll get it wrong as well, and it will be a problem for you. So maybe we can learn from that, because none of us are able to keep track of these things in our lives all the way for every day. So that's what a little way of putting what the Bible is talking about. You can do whatever you like. Let's do it this way instead. Let's take away these cups. Let's not hide this anymore. We can move it. We can do whatever we like. And everyone knows where it is. And I know too. That's a better way of life. So that things are open and true. And we can see the truth about the matter. Not to hide things. So maybe we can learn from that. And it will be best for us, for you as well. So let's turn to Proverbs and chapter 11 today. Proverbs chapter 11. We'll read from the beginning, and we'll read through to verse 21. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. And we pause there and seek God's blessing as we do read his word together. Now let us turn to God once more in prayer. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for your word. You are the one who directs this world. You are the one who looks upon all men and the affairs of men. And you are the one who has inspired this scripture in which we have read. You are the one who has directed the understanding and the wisdom of men for the accumulation of this wisdom. There are times when some of these statements we might look on and with many others raise a question. There are those, as the psalmist spoke of, who in wickedness seem to prosper. But, O Lord, it is a prospering of this world's riches. And help us rather to consider the realities that you make known to us and that are become evident as we do pause and reflect and consider the ways of men of the generations, even our own ways. And above all, O Lord, that we would understand your own heart, that we would seek to be those who are blameless, the ones who are true, not false and inconsistent, that we should rather be faithful. Grant us the enabling of your Spirit to this end, that we might be those who will be a blessing both in our own lives and in the lives of those around us, and a blessing to your own heart. For Lord, you are worthy that all should bring you delight. And so we pray that we might be refreshed in our understanding of this world in which we live and our part in it, that we are to be your servants. We are to seek your will, for it is good, true, it is perfect and acceptable, and that this is profitable also for us. We ask, Lord, that we might be those who do not expend our energies on wasteful things, but on the service of our God, even as you provide all that we have need of that energy and our daily bread towards it. The equipping of our minds and our hearts. Lord, we would do you the honour for what you have given to us in such rich abundance. And we pray that this today might be part of that as we have fellowship together. We do pray that you will be our provider, each one of us, in the variety of our needs and the course of our different lives. Where there is a need for strength of body, we pray that you would provide, and if it is your will that we might remain weak, that yet in this it will be your strength that is made perfect, that your grace will be seen to be sufficient to enable us, and that we might again seek only to do your will. We pray where there is strength, and that we might again in this devote ourselves to the service of our God, and that we will not presume upon it or take it for our own purposes. Where there are those anxieties of spirit, we ask that you would help us to respond to your clear word, that we should not be anxious, but bring all things by prayer and supplication, and that in this we will know that you are our helper, a glorious truth, and that your peace to be found with you, though it is beyond all understanding, will be our keeper, our protection, our upholding. We pray for those who are not with us of our usual number and commend them for your enabling and care where they are. Pray that you will keep them in safety. And we give thanks, O Lord, for every provision that you have made for each of us in the different ways that we have been going in recent days. We thank you too for those who have joined with us for an occasional visit today, and we commend them to you in the course of their lives and their families and their various needs. We pray too for the fellowships they represent and ask your blessing on them as they meet today. As we are mindful, O God, that there are so many places where your name is honoured, where your word is opened, and there is a seeking after the ways that you would lead us. We pray for a prospering of this, and that this will itself spread further afield as well, where there may be a gathering in the name of Christ, but a shortage, as it were, of the truth. We ask that even there, there will be some reading of your word, that there will be a word that is spoken that will be prospered by your Spirit to the hearts of the needy who gather. We pray for the needs of this town. We pray for the spiritual needs especially. And we ask too that you would provide where there is physical need. And we thank you that there is a stirring amongst your people especially to do what is possible to help in these needs. And for the region in which we live, for the nation, we ask, O God, that you would uphold your people, that there will be a salt and a light to bring light into the nation, that the righteousness of your people will be found to bring rejoicing to the city. And so too throughout this world, and we pray for your people throughout the world, especially in times of worship today. We ask, Lord, that you would be with those who may be fearful of open worship, that they might yet be strong in the Spirit and able to strengthen one another in some way. And we ask that you would help those who are suffering for the name of Christ, that they might hear that word of blessedness which the Master spoke. But we ask too that there might be a setting back of the works of wicked men, and even those who are continuing in the ways of sin that are out of ignorance, and the aimless conduct that only belongs to this world. We pray that there might be a spirit that has an impact upon them too as they look upon your people and their faithfulness. But especially, O Lord, today we might pray for those who are bearing the name of Jesus, but are drawn aside by the temptations of this world, where there is prosperity and where there is peace and comfort, and that this might be seen for what it is, that it is only a passing thing, and that we must lay hold all the more firmly of the things that are true and enduring. So do prosper your word, we pray. We ask for those who go out in the service of your word in a particular way today, in the proclaiming of your truth, taking out the gospel by evangelism and mission. We ask for those who have been sent to other parts of the world, not just by your church, but by the Spirit. And we commend them to you. Pray especially for Marcelli, who has not been well, we understand, and may need to return to Africa sooner than planned. We commend her for your upholding grace at this time. So do hear us, O Lord. We would ask that you would be gracious to us, that it is not of our asking, but according to your great purposes, and work what is good, and to your glory we pray. Again, asking that you would pardon us for our sins, even in these holy moments, for your own name's sake, and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing once more. We sing in Psalm 26, the new version, on page 30, beginning on page 30. We'll sing half of the psalm. That's the first four stanzas, marked verses 1 to 6. Declare me innocent, O Lord. I've walked in blameless ways, and I have trusted in the Lord, not wavering all my days. Test me, O Lord, and try my heart. My inmost thoughts survey. Your love surrounds me. From your truth my feet will never stray. And these seem to be rather, almost we might say, extravagant claims in these verses. But yet it is what we have read, that it is the blameless one in whom the Lord takes delight, and that we might be found before him in the Lord Jesus, who is himself truly blameless, that we might be all the more drawn to live our lives in righteousness by the enabling of God's Spirit. But let us sing this God's Word, Psalm 26, verses 1 to 6, again standing to sing.
Declare me
Turning to Proverbs chapter 11, the passage that we read. Let me just draw to your attention particularly verses 1 and 20. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Verse 20. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are blameless in their ways are his delight. Two abominations, two delights. Perhaps you've heard some people dismissing the Christian message as pie in the sky when you die. In other words, it's tough here, it's irrelevant here, but the message says things will be all right when you die, when you go leave this earth. But it would seem to me that the Christian message, the Bible's message, is, taking just this chapter, God cares about your business practices now. It's because we are under God that Proverbs matters. It's because we matter to God now that Proverbs matters. And we know that we matter to God because he has sent his Son, and he has not just cast us adrift in our wickedness, our sinfulness. It's when we throw ourselves on Christ as Savior that we find that we are now free to live out his righteousness. We find that we are now free to be his servants, doing his will. And Proverbs shows this in practice, in our business, in this case. A false balance, a deceptive scale, or a just weight, a true weight. It shows it also in our attitudes of life. Are we of a perverse heart, or are we blameless? There are different ways of looking at righteousness and wickedness, wisdom and foolishness. A number of ways of looking at it, says Proverbs. But always the reality of the situation will match God's intentions. This chapter speaks about looking at it from your own perspective. But it also speaks about it by looking at it from other people's perspective. Your behavior, the way of your life, what impact does it have on your life? And what impact does it have on other people's lives? But most important of all, how does God look on it? How does God look on you? This is telling us that when something works, when things go well, it's because that's how God designed it. It's because it meets with God's approval. This is telling us that when something doesn't work and where it causes harm and problems, it's because it's contrary to God's design. It's because it meets with God's pure and just disapproval. As we've seen already in Proverbs, those who've been looking at it with me over the number of weeks, there are simply two directions shown here. And we see two hearts. We'll begin there. We'll see as well that there are two effects on yourself, consistent with those two hearts. There are also two effects on others. But most important, of most concern to us, should be the two effects this has on the Lord. The two hearts of man. There are two effects on yourself. There are two effects on others, and two effects on the Lord. the two hearts. Let's look at that for a moment first. And the introductory parts of Proverbs before this have dwelt extensively on the two ways of men. There's the wise or the foolish. There's the righteous or the wicked. This is concerning our character. And then we have also heard of not just the inner character of man, but what is done in life, because that comes out of our character, out of our hearts. And these very same things do run throughout even these few verses that we've been looking at this morning. The same things reappear, righteousness and wickedness. The same things will reappear throughout the book of Proverbs. We do have other words that are related to these in this chapter. There is, in verse 20, perverse. And that's consistent with those who are wicked, those who are foolish. There is, in verse 20, the blameless, which is consistent with those who are righteous, those who are wise. Or there is the other term that is used in verse 3, is the integrity of the upright, the integrity of the righteous, the integrity that he is consistent, he is constant in righteousness. And blameless is a word that we will generally tend to speak of as referring to behavior, our ways. In verse 20, the blameless in their ways. How do you behave without fault? Integrity is concerned especially with the inner man. These are additional terms, we might say, to ones we've been becoming used to. The wicked is the perverse, the one who is twisted, the one who is inconsistent, that is unreliable. And it's with regard to the perverse one that we have that special, very direct connection with the heart in verse 20. We are talking about the heart of man. Is that heart perverse, inconsistent, unreliable, goes one way one day, goes another way the next? Is it deceptive, like the false balance, giving every impression of being true but being short? And here once more we see a simple opposition of the two hearts. There is the perverse, but there is also the one who is blameless, the one who has integrity, the one in whom God delights. There are only these two ways. The one that is a delight to God, the one that is true, or the other, the one that goes away from God and is therefore perverse. And it's this that decides the actions of man. In verse 5 we read that it's the righteousness, it's the righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. It's because of his character, what's in his heart, that his ways will go according to truth. And Jesus said, didn't he, that it's the good man out of the good treasure of his heart that brings forth good. It's an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart that brings forth evil. The heart, the condition of the heart, is the source of the way of our lives. And it means that if you see the way of life, it bears a reflection on the condition of our hearts. And it's the way of life that the bulk of this passage deals with. And I would then speak of it again briefly under what I'm calling the two effects on yourself. Because that's what the writer deals with. He has that opening verse regarding the abomination and the delight, but then he goes into other things. He doesn't specifically deal with just business matters. He deals with life as a whole. And this is really through from verse 2 down to verse 8. And then again from verse 15 to verse 19. And here it is saying, you do this, you go this way, you behave in a certain way, look at what it's going to do to you. Just look at the impact it's going to have on your own life, the effect on yourself. Out of your heart, how you live, what impact is that going to have? We cannot do